Go to the book of John, if you would, please. I'm going to begin with John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And we're going to carry on, really, with the message of Easter and what it means to us. And we will go, it looks like, for a few moments, back before the cross. But there's a reason for where I'm heading. The message is entitled this morning, Much More Grace. Much More Grace. John 18, verses 15 through 18, and verses 24 through 27. John 18, 15 through 18, and verses 24 through 27. Verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now, that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door, where? Outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, please say it with me, "I am not." Verse 18. And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Then let's go to verse 24. Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, verse 25, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, where we picked up. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, what was it? "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then, say it with me please, denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. We have three denials of Jesus by Peter. Three denials from the man who said he would never deny. Now Jesus has been betrayed. We understand the scenario. It's the dead of night. All is confusing. A friend has led enemy soldiers to arrest the master, the teacher. A soldier's ear is cut off. Everybody flees. They arrest Jesus and they take him to an illegal trial in the middle of the night. What's the worst thing you've ever done? You don't have to raise your hand and tell me. That's okay. Peter had declared he would never deny the Lord. In fact, he was so confident of his own strength and passion and love for his friend. This is the man who had walked on water and he'd seen people raised from the dead. Lazarus had been raised from the dead and withered hands had been healed and the paralytic raised up to walk again. Blind eyes had been opened and crowds were fed from a little boy's lunch. How many realize that in the midst of a good time, you don't ever think you're going to have a problem? Do you? When the times are really good, you don't think much about the problems. The need for Jesus' forgiveness isn't always as pronounced for us at those moments. But how many can agree with me that, like me, you know Jesus keeps working on you to show you how much you need Him? Come on, punch your neighbor, say, "You know you need Jesus." You know you need Him. Jesus tells Peter, he says, "Peter, trouble's coming." And Peter doesn't believe it. "You're going to deny me." "Absolutely not, Lord. I'll even die with you." So what do we have? We have this scenario unfold. And after Jesus' arrest, Peter follows. And the Greek word there for follows means just like a disciple. He's a follower, a disciple of the Lord. He's doing okay. He's looking on. He's got an eye on Jesus. He's hanging around close enough to his friend. He's not in the turmoil, but he's close enough to it. He's hanging around it. He's studying from a distance. Anyone like me ever find yourself a little farther away than you thought you were going to be? Don't just follow from a distance. Can you agree with me that hanging around, just looking on, is not the same thing as passionately pursuing Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? What does the scripture say in the book of Deuteronomy? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just looking on isn't always the same thing. So a little girl says, now you're one of his disciples, aren't you? Simply, straightforwardly, comes the answer. I am not. Interestingly, in the garden, just a short time before this, Jesus said, I am. 300 soldiers fall over backwards. You ever wonder about that story? They come out to get one man in a garden. They're looking for the one called Jesus of Nazareth, and he stands up and he identifies himself as, I am. Now, how many understand there's a tie-in directly with God, right? I am that I am. I am, and it's so stunning to them. 300 soldiers fall over backwards. Can you track that with me? Don't you think that'd be just a little humorous? It's not a humorous moment, but it's humorous to look back on it. But these guys are falling all over themselves. Who was the first one to pick himself up? So, no, wait a minute. We've got to arrest this guy. I am. Just a short time later, Peter now says, I am not. Next, Peter's being warmed by the fire. The world's a cold place, don't you know? Anybody realize the world turns a cold shoulder to Jesus and it's not warm out there and it tries everything it can to come up with a little spark of light and life and warmth to keep it going. And Peter just wants a little place by the fire. Just want to fit in. Just want to be like the rest. No big deal. I just want to look like everybody else. I don't want to be anything too radical. Anybody want to be radical for Jesus right along with me? Turn to each other. I'm doing this all morning. See, it keeps you involved. Turn to each other. Punch each other in the arm. Say, you're radical for Jesus. But you know, even those by the fire recognize this is not Peter's normal hangout here. People can tell if you fit in. You know that, don't you? People know what a Christian's supposed to be like, and they put that on us all the time. You're not supposed to act like that. You're a Christian. You're one of them. Peter is trying to fit in, but doesn't. Jesus already changed Peter so much that it's not a comfortable place to hang around the fire of the world. Can you say amen? So they ask, aren't you one of his disciples? And the Greek word there is mathetes. Mathetes. Aren't you a learner, a pupil, a disciple of Jesus? Aren't you one of the ones who have been close? You walked with him? Aren't you one of them water walkers? In fact, aren't you the guy? You know, it's kind of hard. Don't you think it's probably kind of hard for Peter to keep it quiet? He's this big, burly fisherman who's walked on water. That had to be a known thing from some people, at least. It's kind of hard for him to stand up and say, no, that's not me. Peter gets stronger. He denies it. The Greek word is anamai, to contradict, to disavow, to reject, to abnegate, to deny. I'm denying it. Anamai, away from me. I am not. Don't lean on me. I'm just part of the world. No big deal. Don't lump me in with those radical ones. But it's getting hard to deny now. Because Peter not only walked on water. What else did Peter do? He was a little radical in the garden. Anybody know what else he did? He cut off a soldier's ear. A little hard to deny. He might have still had blood on him. I would think that would have bled fairly profusely, don't you? It's not a common occurrence. Anybody here today cut off someone's ear this week? No, not a common occurrence. The fantastic thing is, and I know we're not spending time on this part, but the fantastic thing is Jesus reaches out and attaches the guy's ear again, supernaturally heals that gentleman. Now that would change your life for the rest of your life, don't you think? Yeah, my ear was cut off. It was hurting bad, but it's healed. I don't think I'm going to arrest this guy. But Peter was the one who did it. And now, you know, it's not just It's not just that it's in the press. It's not just that it's out there. The story's there. This is Peter, or this is the relative of the guy who had his ear cut off. His relative, whether it was his cousin, brother, doesn't make any difference, but it's his relative. I know you're the guy. This guy's part of my family. You sliced his ear off, pal. I saw you there. Didn't I see you there in the garden with Jesus? Communing with him? Watching and praying with him? Peter's not just nominal. He's watched. He's prayed. Missed sleep and been traveling with this one for 3.5 years. Peter's whole life has radically changed. He wasn't out there in the boats fishing every day. He was a follower of Jesus. But it's getting hard. The people already arrested the one you love. Your master is arrested. He's being abused, and they're accusing him of everything. And I don't want to go that way. Can we blame Peter for waffling? Can we? I don't think so. That's where I saw you before. I saw you hanging around Jesus. And I saw you cut off my cousin's ear. Peter denies it again. In Matthew 26, verse 35, Peter says to Jesus, I won't deny you, even if it means I have to die with you. And Jesus, we don't read that he's harsh, just knowingly, says, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times, and then the rooster will crow. You're going to deny that you even know me. And far be it from me, Lord. You know, remember, this is the same guy who's a lot like you and me. Jesus is telling him he's going to go and die for their sins. And Peter takes him to the side and says, that's not going to happen to you. And Jesus has to look at him and say, wait a minute. That spirit, that thing that you're of, though you're well-intentioned, that's not of God. You're coming against the plan of God. Get thee behind me, Satan. And just a moment earlier, he had had the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the neat thing is, the people say to Peter, we know you're one of him. Your speech betrays you. Come on. Isn't it true? When you give your life to Jesus, the way you talk changes. At least it better. The things you talk about changes. Come on, doesn't it? All of a sudden, things you were really passionate about, some of them you still are, but some of them go by the wayside, thank God. Things that people find atrociously funny, now you just find atrocious. The same things don't appeal, and your life changes, and all of a sudden, something's inside, and the world doesn't taste as good, and you know, come on, you've been like me, where before Christ, you watched a movie and thought it was just uproariously funny, and I could tell the story because they've told it before, but you know, this happened to my pastors, our pastors and friends here, but you know, before Christ, you saw this movie, and it was just great, so you invite friends over to enjoy it with you, but now you've become a Christian, and you're horrified when you're watching it going, how could I have invited you to this? And it's all a testimony that Jesus has changed you. The real deal. He changes you. And the little girl looks at him and the guy looks at him trying to warm himself around the world's fire. And they say, wait a minute, you don't belong here. You're the very way you even speak. He was speaking their language. What are you talking about? What, he got some funny dialect? He had the Jesus dialect going. He couldn't sound the same. And then he denies it so strongly, it says he curses and he swears. Nobody in this room does that, I know, ever. When you smash your thumb with that hammer, the car door closes your hand in it. Nothing comes out but, oh, praise God, I'm so glad that's over with. That's for those who believe in predestination. Man, I'm glad I got that out of the way. But you know, things like that come out of your mouth and you go, it doesn't fit right. It doesn't fit anymore. And immediately, the rooster crows. And Peter hears it and remembers the words of Jesus. Peter wouldn't have been in this place following Jesus if he didn't love this man. If his whole life hadn't been changed by this Jesus, he wouldn't even be there. And now he's done the unthinkable thing. It was tough. It was confusing. Soldiers all around and looking like they're going to take your head off. And the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the Greek for wept bitterly is kleou pikrose. Kleou pikrose. And it literally means Peter sobbed and wailed bitterly and violently. Sometimes that's what hits our hearts when we know our attitude or action, whatever it might be, has been wrong. We repent before God. I did exactly what I said I wouldn't do. I said no to my Lord. The shame and the reality of what he did was right there. And you know, come on, have you been there? Like with me? I've done it. Whatever it might be, and you go, I knew. I said I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to, you know, or whatever it might be. In your heart of hearts, you go, Lord, I guess I'm not as strong as I thought I proclaimed myself to be. I guess maybe I better stay a little closer to you. I guess I'm not as much like you yet as I thought I was. Anybody have any growing room left? Yeah. Peter now knows he's not sufficient in himself. But church, the good news, the Easter message is not Christ on the cross, but Christ resurrected. The hope, the love, the restoration, the forgiveness, the possibility, the life. There is absolutely no limit to the grace of God. Come on, I said, there's no limit to the grace of God. Come on, I said, there's no limit to the grace of God. There is absolutely no limit to the grace of God. I said one more time, there's no limit to the grace of God. Hallelujah. Turn to each other. Shout it in their ear. There's no limit to the grace of God. Jesus died, buried, was resurrected. Now I pray for all your ears and hearing. Heal their ears, Lord. They all just shouted in each other's ears. I don't know why you guys do things like that. But listen to the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't brag that I got sin. I'm bragging that I got a Savior. I don't brag that I got sin. I brag that He is full of grace and glory. Jesus says, it is finished. And God says, it is enough. And rips this masterful, powerful, glorious, huge curtain from top to bottom right in two. So the Holy of Holies and the way into the presence of God is now available through the blood shed by Jesus Christ. And in Mark 16, verse 7, after the resurrection, go tell his disciples and Peter that you'll see him in Galilee just like he said. Go tell everybody. Be sure you include Peter. He's feeling a little chagrined right now. go get Peter and round up all the gang and make sure you have Peter there too. This message is for him, for you, even though you denied him. Now, Judas had remorse, and it led to self-destruction. Peter had brokenness in repentance, and it led him face to face with Jesus and restoration. Now let's go to John 21. John chapter 21. We'll fast forward. So what do we have in John chapter 21, where we've got Peter who led the way back to the water? These guys were empty without Jesus, and you know, they're discouraged, and Peter, you know, and then we've got this troublesome stuff that happens. These testimonies are coming out, and then Peter leads them back to the fishing place. They've been working all night, trying to find fish. And this guy comes along, they don't recognize him right away, and he says, "Hey, how long have you been at this game?" And they feel like they could answer, "All my life. I've been at this all night." And he simply says, "Cast your net out to the other side." This is absolutely fantastic. This is verses 1 through 12, basically. And have you any food? No. Verse 5, verse 6, cast the net out on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they're not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Now get a load of verse 7. I love it. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved says to Peter, 'It's the Lord!'" It's the Lord. Now, what do you see in here in this scripture? Peter is so excited to see Jesus. What does it say? "Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea." Peter's taken off. He's swimming to shore. "It's Jesus. I've got to go see Jesus. The one who forgave me. The one who loves me." So excited. And Jesus, even in his resurrection, serves and loves his people. He's fixing dinner. And he says to these guys, "Come on. Come and dine." Can you think with me for a moment, what do you think Peter must have been thinking and feeling? The excitement? The joy? Some guilt? Some shame? It's the Lord. But you see, our scriptures tells us in 1 John 1:9, "If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse us from" how much unrighteousness? How much?
All.
All. Jesus restores, gives hope. The gospel is a gospel of restoration, hope, and mercy. Romans 5, verse 20, out of the NIV, and then I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. Romans 5:20, "Where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Now listen to that verse out of the Message. Romans 5, verse 20, out of the Message version. Listen to this. This is fantastic. Sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. Did you hear that? Sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. Peter denied him 3 times, and now he's jumping in the water, making his way to shore just to be with the one he loves. He loves Jesus. Now, they have their time at the shore. Undoubtedly must have ate the fish while it was still warm. Ladies, how many of you like people to eat the food while it's still hot? I know, I'm reading in between lines. And then Jesus has this dynamic conversation with Peter. Much more grace. Verses 15 through 17. John 21, 15 through 17. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, say it with me, please. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He, meaning Jesus, said to him, Peter, again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, say it with me, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, say it with me, do you love me? Now Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Church, Peter denied Jesus three times, and now three times Jesus gives Peter opportunity to express his love. The past washed away. The present, a brand new beginning. Let's do away with what used to be there, Peter. Let's get rid of the image in your mind of the denier. And let's put in your heart the vision, the image, the one who loves me. But there's something very powerful in this story, these very short verses. Do you love me more than these? More than these brethren with whom you fish? More than this fishing life you're used to living? Do you love me? And the word is agapeo. God's kind of love. Complete love. Total. Giving. Self-surrendered. Sacrificed love. Agapeo. Agape. Do you agape me, Peter? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I can't reach agape. I have brotherly love, fondness, kind thoughts and heart toward you. I can't reach what you're asking me, Lord. I just failed. I can reach this one. Not agape, but phileo. So Jesus asks him, beyond being fond of me, Peter, I know you have affection for me, but second time, Simon, do you love me? Do you agapeo me? Peter, I know we just chatted about this, but do you have God's kind of love for me? Are you really sold out to me? Do I really own your whole heart and life, Peter? And the second time, Peter says, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I can't reach that. I didn't make it. I'm fond of you, Lord. You see, Peter doesn't feel worthy of his Lord. I imagine sometimes he feels like he can barely keep his head up. Jesus, I've got affection for you and I just don't know if I can do any better than that right now. The man who was going to die for Jesus had to admit that he wasn't ready for that. Doesn't know if he can rise to the true depth of full, sold-out, godly love. This time, we have a humbled, broken in spirit Peter, not full of himself, who doesn't dare presume that he's got it all together to declare that he's all of that. I failed at this before, and I'm not sure I got that depth. Can you hear the humility and the brokenness? And yet Jesus says, basically, I'm not done with you. My grace is sufficient, Peter. I've already said once, tend my lambs. And now he says at the end of the second one, feed my sheep. Poimaino, tend them as a shepherd. Peter, live my grace, shepherd my sheep, teach them how to do the same. Then the third time, only on this third one, this is profound. Jesus makes a change. Okay, Peter, This is what you say you have. Let me ask you then again. Do you phileo me really? Because the third question, do you love me? Jesus now changes to the word that Peter has used. Do you phileo me? Peter, do you really have affection for me, like you've said? Do you really have this kind of brotherly love, fondness for me? I'm going to your word, Peter. Is that really what's in your heart? No wonder the scripture says it pierced his heart. It grieved him. I can't rise to the depth of love you're asking. I can't make it, I don't think. But Lord, I know we're friends, and I really love you, and I'm fond of you. And Jesus says, okay, let's deal with you right where you are. Are you fond of me, Peter? Really? Jesus is looking for the real thing from our own lives. I love him, the Bible says, because he first loved me. Peter is grieved. The Greek word lupeo means he's distressed and he's sad. He's distressed, saddened, sorry in heart and spirit. Jesus, I failed you. You know it. Lord, you know everything. Lord, you know it. You know everything is basically his answer. You know me from the beginning to the end. You called me and I've walked with you for 3.5 years and you know what I'm made of and you know my mistakes. But Lord, I'm coming as much as I can and I love you. I phileo you, Lord. So Jesus looks at him and he says, okay. I'll work with that. Feed my sheep, Peter. Give my people food to eat. Break thou the bread of life. So they know me as the loving, forgiving God that you know. I'll give you what I've got, Jesus. And Jesus says, I can take your life like a little boy's lunch. And I can multiply it to feed a multitude. When you give it to me, feed my sheep. Peter denies his Lord 3 times, and 3 times he gets to declare his love. Tender man now. And Peter's different for the rest of his entire ministry that we read about in the scriptures. And Jesus declares a calling in his life. You see, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Walk with me. Jesus says, walk with me. I've got a plan for you. Chapter 22 or 21, verse 22. Peter, remember, he says, you know, Jesus says, you're going to have a tough road. And so Peter says, well, what about this guy? Pointing to the Apostle John. And Jesus says, look, Pete, it doesn't matter about that guy. The most important thing is you follow me. Verse 22. Denial days are gone. Follow me. Stick with me. Follow me. Akaluo. Akalutheo, rather. Akalutheo. And it means accompany me. Walk with me. Accompany me. Same verse, by the way, or same word as in Luke 9:23. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Peter, your road may not be easy, but I've got a plan for your life. Church, the road that Jesus has for you all may not be easy or for any of us, but he calls us to follow him. Have you discovered, like Peter, the grace of God is sufficient for you? Come on. Have you discovered it? I've known in my own life, I'm sure you've known in yours, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be?
Amen.
Oh, thank God that his grace is sufficient. Go tell my disciples. By the way, and Peter, that I'll meet up with them. The message of Easter that we celebrate every day is forgiveness, restoration, hope, grace, and life. Much more grace. I'm going to finish with a song, and I'm going to tell you a story as they get ready to play it, of the joy that happened that day at the Garden Tomb. But there was a 92-year-old preacher who served a church in Atlanta. And that church decided to honor this man who had been their senior pastor and was now retired for many, many years. He was now 92 years old. After a warm welcome and introducing him, the applause quieted down and he arose from his chair. Took him a while to get to the pulpit. And they asked him, what was the greatest lesson that he ever learned over his 50-some years of preaching? And the 92-year-old former senior pastor looked at his congregation. He says, you know, I thought about it for a few days. And I boiled it down to just one thing that made the most difference in my life. It sustained me through all my trials. Just one thing. The one thing that I could always rely on when tears and heartbreak and pain and fear and sorrow paralyzed me. The only thing that would comfort me was this. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. Say it with me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. When this 92-year-old senior pastor finished, the church was quiet. Could have heard a pin drop as he shuffled his way back to his chair. It was always unforgettable. Whoever was there to see it never forgot it.